Right now on VFN TV, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu congratulates President-elect Donald Trump, including we're going to talk about the power of the presidency. Also, we're going to talk about the historical presidential election that took place. It was a big historical moment, and so much more right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light.
Here's what the Holy Spirit said. He said, I have many ministers, and they are speaking on my behalf. But he said, what's missing is the urgency of this. These mega churches are really cognizant not to offend people. And they're really careful when they get up and preach to people that everybody leaves out there feeling really good. Preachers refuse to preach on the coming of Jesus Christ. Where's the urgency? I have never seen America in the place where we are right now. If you think that all the persecution is going to remain in Iraq against the Christians, you better think again. It's already coming into this country right now. If we don't tell people what they need to hear, God's going to hold us accountable and their blood will be on our hands. Whenever we preach, we've got to preach with an urgency in our voice that we need to be right with God if anything should happen to us. There's things right now in motion that may change our nation almost overnight. And for me to stand here and act like everything's all right, I can't do that. The politicians in Washington may can do that and lead you to believe that everything's going to be okay. But in the house of God, there's got to arise a siren that says, blast, 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 attention, attention, attention. Things are changing and they're changing quickly. We've got to have preachers in the pulpit that will say, watch out! Warning! Warning! Red light! Warning! People know something's going on in the Middle East. They know something's going on in Iraq, in Iran, in Damascus. They know about Iran. And people that's not even scripturally literate are trying to answer these things, and they're missing in a million miles. And God's saying to the preachers, get up and tell them. It's time to talk about what God's doing. People are seeking the Lord. People are seeking Christ. And if they don't find him in the church, where are they going to find him?
Got an invitation to come back, and the Lord laid on my heart, and that's when Mr. Tuart asked me about, did you have a dream? And I did. That's when he told me about the coming storm. And as I'm about to go into prayer, I just want to say the Lord laid on my heart. I said, I'm not going to share it unless somebody asks me to come. And where's Commissioner Barry asked me to come, and I said, this is it. I was going to share it. That there's another level about to happen.
Riots are coming. Riots in the streets are coming. And if we're not careful, shortly after the next election, the anger will mount so much that we'll end up having martial law declared. Loss of life is taking place.
If we stay on this road, it's not going to be pretty. It's not going to be just us morphing into some socialist, type of country. It's going to be, I think, worse than what was experienced in Nazi Germany. In dialogue, trying to understand, because I believe what happened there was a dress rehearsal for what the devil's trying to do in the whole world.
I think the way the world is going, the way the U.S. is going, I think there's going to come a time, and it's probably going to be sooner than later, when what I do in a public forum is going to be labeled as a hate crime.
Some disturbing news from Russia. President Vladimir Putin signed a law outlawing evangelism and cracking down on house churches. The laws forbid evangelism outside of churches and other religious sites. That means people can't even share their faith in their homes or even on the internet.
Well, you don't think God could put a tyrant over America? You don't think God could put a tyrant that oppresses the church? What have we been doing? What have we been doing as a church?
Our power doesn't come from some self-declared savior promising that he alone can restore order as long as we do things his way. We don't look to be ruled.
God is just. You think this last 7 years has been tough, this 8 years have been tough? That's just Jehoiakim. Zedekiah is right on the precipice of coming to pass in this nation.
Not going to make it through the times that are coming without being his disciples and more. Without growing up into our purpose.
And that so happens that communism is a system that I disagree with philosophically. I would not prefer to live under a communist system. I happen to feel that the great moments of history have been those moments when individuals have been left free to think and to act.
Lord, raise up mighty men and women. Raise up young people. Raise up voices, not echoes. Voices that can cut through and make politicians and judges shake in their boots. Raise up prophecies. Put a sure word.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm Greg Lancaster, and joining me just a moment is Steve Kalaszewski. Well, here we are. We're walking out our brand new president-elect Donald Trump, and we're excited about what's going on. But understand this, you know, what is the power of the presidency? What did, you know, for our relationships, you've been watching VFN TV for some time, we were highly concerned about why is America treating Israel the way that we're treating Israel? Remember Israel being totally surrounded and our vice president saying specific things to Israel and saying you don't want a third intifada and different things that we talked about. And it seems like we were empowering the enemies of Israel, which is Iran, who seeks to push Israel into the sea. And it's like, what's going on? Well, understand we have a new day, a new president, and Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has something to say about it. But first, let's take a glance back, a little bit of the speech that President-elect Donald Trump gave the night that he found out he was elected president of the United States.
Every single American will have the opportunity to realize his or her fullest potential. The forgotten men and women of our country will be forgotten no longer.
That was so exciting. We had that on our previous program. You can catch our previous program. But yes, that is he's our new president, President-elect Donald Trump. And we're going to be talking about the power of the presidency, the Electoral College. But first, we're going to go back. You know, how does Israel see America's selection for our new president? Because they were highly concerned, and reason so, if you've been watching our program. It's just like, have we lost our commitment to stand with Israel? Well, this is Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister, the leader of Israel, talking to President-elect Donald Trump. Take a look.
President-elect Trump, my friend, congratulations on being elected President of the United States of America. You are a great friend of Israel. Over the years, you've expressed your support consistently, and I deeply appreciate it. I look forward to working with you to advance security, prosperity, and peace. Israel is grateful for the broad support it enjoys among the American people, and I'm confident that the two of us, working closely together, will bring the great alliance between our two countries to even greater heights. May God bless America. May God bless Israel. May God bless our enduring alliance.
This, to us, as we are friends of Israel, as you know, that we stand for God and country and Israel in that order, and that we've been big supporters and are big supporters of Israel. And we just pray continually for the peace of Jerusalem. We stand with, you know, Americans united for Israel. We stand with Avi Mizrahi in Tel Aviv, and we just pray for the protection and the peace of Israel. And look, now it looks like our relationships are coming back into a great alignment again. And God says, you know, he'll bless those who bless Israel, and he'll curse those who curse Israel. We're looking at a new direction for our country and how we focus on and stand with Israel. Now think about this. I know we've had this before, but I want you to see this little understanding because it happens so quickly. Understand, if you're the president of the United States, this is what's at your hand. This is the power of the presidency. This is what's going to be put in the hands of President-elect Donald Trump. And we need to begin to pray for him. But this is the power that's there to be able to really help, like Israel and other countries in need, but also stand up for our own country. Let's take a look. The power, what is the power of the presidency? What are they over? Let's take a look.
The President of the United States is often described as the most powerful person in the world. The person who occupies the Oval Office represents a population of more than 320 million people and oversees the world's largest economy. As Commander-in-Chief, the President commands all five branches of the U.S. Armed Forces and a military budget that tops $580 billion annually. The President decides where troops are stationed, where ships are sent, and how weapons will be used. 886 generals and admirals take their orders from the President, along with some 1.4 million active frontline military personnel and 1.1 million active reserves. The President is the only person who can access the secret codes necessary to launch a nuclear attack and is effectively responsible for more than 4,500 active and inactive nuclear warheads in the U.S. arsenal. The U.S. gives nearly $50 billion in foreign aid to more than 180 countries around the world. That's the President's job as well. The U.S. has collective defense agreements with 54 nations and legally conducts surveillance in 193 countries. The President has the power to veto laws passed by Congress and can pardon anyone of any federal crime, except impeachment. The President can designate land for national monuments and parks and appoints cabinet members, diplomats, and federal judges, all the way up to the Supreme Court.
That is so powerful, the power of the presidency. And when you elected a person president, that's what they're over. And when you hear people comparing America to other countries, you're seeing this is a pretty powerful economy, military, and just an amazing country. And we just thank God for the peaceful transition of power and how President Barack Obama is working with President-elect Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. They're all working together and supporting our new president and our new leader in the direction that we're going. And we'll be talking about the Electoral College when we get back. That's so important because the actual election is going to happen on December the 19th. And I mentioned Americans United for Israel. I really meant to say Christians United for Israel. We're partners with Christians United for Israel. They're the ones that show up in Washington, D.C. to educate our congressman and our senator to be able to help them understand, you know, why it's important to maintain a good, vital relationship with Israel. And we are so excited about Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu wanting to have a tight relationship, and President-elect Donald Trump wanting to have a close relationship with Israel. These are exciting days. Continue to pray for the peace of Israel. When we get back from the break, we're going to talk about the Electoral College. You don't hear it a lot. You hear people talk about the popular vote, but the reality is that's not how America's designed it, and it will tell you exactly why. Join us after the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
You know, a lot of people want to abide with the Lord, but they just don't have a plan to do it. You can request that plan today at iabide.org.
He said, my people are going to cry out to me. I said, when? And he says, it will keep getting darker until they do. It will keep getting darker until they do.
I want to thank you so much for joining us here on VFN TV and the Data Radio program. Every single day we are on the air talking to the world and encouraging you by bringing the light, keeping the conversation light. And we also talk to you in many different ways as well. One way is at the VFN Torch. If you go to VFNTV.com and click on the Torch, our program that we have for years now with all these pertinent topics of the day plus things that you need to know is right there for you, where you can go back and educate yourself on a particular matter. You can share things with a friend. You can listen to us in Vision and SoundCloud as well. You can share things audibly with other listeners out there and other viewers and friends. There's just so much available to you at VFNTV.com. In addition, think about this. We come to you in the air, broadcasting in the air, in your pocket, which is on mobile devices, and online. We're all over the world, and we want to be able to bring encouragement to you. And we do that one way with our app. You can go to Apple App Store. You can go to Google Play Store or your Windows Store and get your app and download it. The app is called VFN TV. Of course, you go to VFNTV.com. And we have our little area there that you can pick which app you want to be able to download. It's just so exciting to know that no matter where you are, we want to be able to encourage you I don't know if you knew about this, but also you can sign up for our Torch newsletter. We have a gift for you for doing that. You just go to VFNTV.com in the upper right-hand corner and fill out that little information, and immediately a free gift will come to you. One of them is prudent preparation. Hopefully it's going to come to you and teach you how to probably prepare for the day, what's happening in our culture today, and how to think outside the box. And it's just something we want to be able to give to you, plus some other gifts as well. And I also want to make sure that you have a chance to be able to become a VFN TV partner. We have a whole partners area just to say thank you. It's special areas, special events, green room, things we have available just to give our partners, just to be able to say thank you. Imagine any time you can log into the partners area. Why? Because you partner for any dollar figure at all to be able to say thank you. Things you can share with your friends as well. Also, we have VFN Kingdom Business Partners, a whole nother area to be able to focus on the seven spheres of culture. Just very encouraging. And finally, I want to encourage you, maybe your business, maybe you want to become a business sponsor. Those are the ones that are standing with us, that want to keep the conversation light, that want to impact their community, but also want to be able to share their business, their service, what they provide for their community. You can do that by going to VFNTV.com. Thank you so much, and thanks for watching. Welcome back. Isn't it so exciting to be able to see Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, you know, excited about the choice that America's made, and you know,
the world is watching.
Yes, you know, President-elect Donald Trump, got used to saying that. His son-in-law is Jewish, and they have close relationships reportedly, you know, with Israel and love Israel, and we're so excited. You know, we talked about the innovations that come out of Israel, and a lot of things that we're using today comes from Israel. We can't go through, there's just a ton of things, medical things,
we'll
technology,
make it related. There's so
much. The purification of water, facial recognition, all these different technologies and gifts, and they just,
solar
God
powers,
just gifted them.
So many.
You know? I mean, even their oranges are bigger. I mean, God is just blessing Israel. Well, you know, so often, you know, we get this mindset and we think, and people who have evil intentions let us believe this, that, you know, the whoever gets the most votes wins in any kind of election. But that's not the way it works. We're not, we are a republic government. We're a representative government. And that if you actually did, if you decided that you were going to, you know, whoever gets the most votes is the one who's going to be the leader, what would happen is they would never go to Montana. They would never go to Wyoming, North Dakota, South Dakota. You know, these smaller states would never
Vermont, New Hampshire.
You would have no representation at all, because they would just hang around Florida, California, Texas, New York, you know, some large population states, and they would always determine. So when our leaders, our wise leaders, who knew that if they didn't, we didn't have this kind of government, a tyranny would come up and somebody would convince 51% of the people that, hey, we need to follow this guy called Hitler or something. That happened in Germany. Next thing they're following, they had to undo their government to be able to do it. But that's why they did that. It's called the Electoral College. So really, when we voted, and I hope you voted, make sure you always vote. You know, pray, vote, pray. But that you're really voting for delegates.
Yeah.
Delegates that actually go and vote for a particular candidate. As a matter of fact, take a look at this. It's called the Electoral College.
I want to talk to you about the Electoral College and why it matters. All right, I know this doesn't sound like the most sensational topic of the day, but stay with me, because I promise you it's one of the most important. To explain why requires a very brief civics review. The President and Vice President of the United States are not chosen by a nationwide popular vote of the American people. Rather, they are chosen by 538 electors. This process is spelled out in the United States Constitution. Why didn't the founders just make it easy and let the presidential candidate with the most votes claim victory? Why did they create, and why do we continue to need, this Electoral College? The answer is critical to understanding not only the Electoral College, but also America. The founders had no intention of creating a pure majority-rule democracy. They knew from careful study of history what most have forgotten today or never learned. Pure democracies do not work. They implode. Democracy has been colorfully described as two wolves and a lamb voting on what's for dinner. In a pure democracy, bare majorities can easily tyrannize the rest of a country. The founders wanted to avoid this at all costs. This is why we have three branches of government: executive, legislative, and judicial. It's why each state has two senators, no matter what its population, but also different numbers of representatives based entirely on population. It's why it takes a supermajority in Congress and three-quarters of the states to change the Constitution. And it's why we have the Electoral College. Here's how the Electoral College works. The presidential election happens in two phases. The first phase is purely democratic. We hold 51 popular elections every presidential election year, one in each state and one in D.C. On election day in 2012, you may have thought you were voting for Barack Obama or Mitt Romney, but you were really voting for a slate of presidential electors. In Rhode Island, for example, if you voted for Barack Obama, you voted for the state's four Democratic electors. If you voted for Mitt Romney, you were really voting for the state's four Republican electors. Part two of the election is held in December, and it is this December election among the state's 538 electors, not the November election, which officially determines the identity of the next president. At least 270 votes are needed to win. Why is this so important? Because the system encourages coalition building and national campaigning. In order to win, a candidate must have the support of many different types of voters from various parts of the country. Winning only the South or the Midwest is not good enough. You cannot win 270 electoral votes if only one part of the country is supporting you. But if winning were only about getting the most votes, a candidate might concentrate all of his efforts in the biggest cities or the biggest states. Why would that candidate care about what people in West Virginia or Iowa or Montana think? But you might ask, isn't the election really only about the so-called swing states? Actually, no. If nothing else, safe and swing states are constantly changing. California voted safely Republican as recently as 1988. Texas used to vote Democrat. Neither New Hampshire nor Virginia used to be swing states. Most people think that George W. Bush won the 2000 election because of Florida. Well, sort of, but he really won the election because he managed to flip one state which the Democrats thought was safe, West Virginia. Its four electoral votes turned out to be decisive. No political party can ignore any state for too long without suffering the consequences. Every state, and therefore every voter in every state, is important. The Electoral College also makes it harder to steal elections. Votes must be stolen in the right state in order to change the outcome of the Electoral College. With so many swing states, this is hard to predict and hard to do. But without the Electoral College, any vote stolen in any precinct in the country could affect the national outcome, even if that vote was easily stolen in the bluest California precinct or the reddest Texas one. The Electoral College is an ingenious method of selecting a president for a great, diverse republic such as our own. It protects against the tyranny of the majority, encourages coalition building, and discourages voter fraud. Our founders were proud of it. We can be too. I'm Tara Ross for Prager University.
That is so helpful, isn't it? I mean, it helps from, it makes it harder for elections to be stolen. And we know we've seen some people that they really would not have mind stealing the election, but it makes it really difficult having this electoral college.
And it helps them learn the process and what all that means, what we're voting for.
Yeah, and so when people say, well, I think you need to have the popular vote. Well, the popular vote would mean then somebody could come into America who has some sort of charismatic and just convince 51% of the people the latest, you know,
idea,
addiction or whatever it is, you know, and all of a sudden they just vote. And next thing you know, he or she is a tyrant running the entire country. Mm-hmm. And so the Electoral College helps every single state to be represented. It makes it harder for elections to be stolen. And it's wisdom of these founding fathers, you know, 230-some years ago.
And it's amazing, too, when you read the Constitution, this is the very process that they wrote out, because they understood, because they were coming out from that oppressive leadership of having a king and saying, we don't want to go that way.
Right.
And if you were watching the whole process of the election, you saw that, okay, first one to get to 270, first one to get to 270, and you're like, you know, what is this 270? What you're just hearing, that was the minimum number of electoral votes.
You had to get to 270 to become the president, right?
Correct. And Donald Trump had 306 and Hillary Clinton had 232. Now, what that means is, okay...
But they both start off with zero.
Right.
Supposedly.
Right. And there was a total of 538. Now, what that means is that we just went through the process of casting our votes to say who we're going to decide for. Now that we have got the Electoral College, which just, you know, has been taking place...
Immediately after the election, right?
Correct. Mm-hmm. They are not working together, and then they
cast... They are working together?
The electoral votes, like the...
The
representatives.
Delegates.
Yes.
The delegates?
Uh-huh. Thank you. I was just searching for that word. Mm-hmm. And then they have their process of voting, which is going to... And then they have their vote on December 19th. So all, like, there's still a transitional period that's still going on right
so
now.
So nobody's really voted for a president yet.
Exactly.
These individuals, these delegates that have been voted in by you and your state, mm-hmm. Your political party state, they're the ones that are going to go and vote.
Right.
So they could change their vote. I mean, I doubt very seriously that's going to happen, but it could.
Because I remember when I was younger, too, it's just like, well, why is there this 60-day process of, okay, if I'm voting in November, why does it take an inauguration day, which is in January? That is that process.
Well, actually, it used to be a lot longer than January 20th, mm-hmm. but they thought it's too long to have a lamed-up president. Mm-hmm. So they compacted it down to 70 days.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they have that in there on top of all that.
Right.
And but, yeah, I think you think about it, they knew. I mean, if you're close to tyranny, if you're close to some tyrannical leader, it's easy for you to take notes. We've been so long away from that, although we can study. Well, I think we don't teach it in history anymore. We don't teach about Americanism versus communism, and communism's never worked. I mean, it's never worked, ever. And everybody always says the next person who wants to do it, they go, they just didn't do it my way. And it's like, hey, let's just stick with a representative government. I just thank God for America. As a matter of fact, this is such a historical election that took place. When we get back from this break, we're going to hear from Paul Dunn talk about how historical this election is. But first, we have this offer for you. Today's offer for your partnership of any amount whatsoever is offer 2017. Two kingdoms. It's important to stop living in the fog and start living in the fog, the fear of God. Did you know there's nothing more frustrating than to be stuck between two opinions? Actually, there is. It's living between two kingdoms. Jesus came to earth to introduce us, mankind, to a new kingdom, the kingdom of God. When he sent us out, he told us to go preach the kingdom of God is near. Today, we have to begin to understand and get rid of the myth that says you can actually live in both. Find out more how to begin to live in the fear of God for your gift, any amount whatsoever. It's offer 2017. Become a VFN TV partner by going to VFNTV.com and click on Partner Now and follow the prompts. Or write to us at VFN TV, 6500 North Pensacola Boulevard. That's 6500 North Pensacola Boulevard, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. Or call us toll-free at 844-408-3688. That is offer number 2017. There's two kingdoms. It's important to start living in the fear of God.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
One of the things that could be happening when God allows us sometimes to go through this is to show us that we, unlike people, sometimes with people we have to earn their love, we have to earn their respect, we have to earn their acknowledgement of us. But God doesn't operate that way.
Lisa Turkhurst on today's Focus on the Family Minute.
God's love isn't based on me. It's simply placed on me. And it's the place from which I should live. And I think when we're in the pit of those feelings of rejection, that's the greatest opportunity to shame Satan back to hell and to say, you know what? I have nothing to offer. I am feeling lower than I've ever felt before. But my God loves me. And it's not based on me. It's simply placed on me by God himself.
A good reminder of God's unfailing love. And you can hear more from Lisa today at familyminute.org.
Did you know that China, John, is praying, in reports, I was listening to The Blaze the other day in that television, and that they're praying that we would be humbled, that America would be humbled.
Wow.
Isn't that something? They said that's our only hope. As a matter of fact, listen right now.
Right.
Yeah. Listen to this right now.
We won't only win,
we will overcome and be extraordinarily victorious. There'll be a massive revival. It would change the nature and the face of the world.
Talked to somebody from China, and they said people in China are actually praying for America to be humbled. And I said, thank you very much. And they said they see it over there as the only way the United States will regain its footing is to be seriously humbled. And I have a feeling the humbling is about to begin.
We gained the whole world. We lost our soul. What do we have?
What do we have? Nothing.
Think about that. We are on the edge of some major happenings taking place in the world right now. And the largest part of the church, believe it or not, it's not America. America's only, the entire population of America is only 5% of the world's population, which at least 95% of 7 billion people who God loves. And the largest part of the church is in China. And our brothers and sisters in China are praying for us. They're praying for us that we would survive. And the key to survival is humility.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. This is a historical election.
Yes.
And it's amazing to look at, I don't know if it was this program, the previous program I was talking about, you know, the Lord show me that Donald Trump would be president. I didn't share it on the air because I was all prepared to share it on the air. And then I got counsel that probably wouldn't be good to share on the air because people are so divided, you know. Not, you know, we want whoever God wants to do, whatever he wants to do. God's God. God is actually, you know, our
God's
leader.
God's not limited by political parties.
And so, but he showed me very specifically, if you missed that, catch our last program because we talked about that. And it's so cool to know that, wait a minute, you know, God knew this day was coming. God knew this day was coming. And it was just, it was pretty amazing to see that. But understanding that this is everybody, if you look at government, if you looked at media, CNN, MSNBC, Fox, ABC, CBS, NBC, I mean, all those, the political parties, the Republican National Convention, the GOP, the DNC, Democratic National, I mean, all of them, the candidates, they were all just shocked. I remember listening to some returns, and I was saying, what was a good person? And it's like, I didn't have it figured out. I didn't know what was going to happen other than what God told me, but it's almost like everybody was convinced the elections were going to come out some other way. Mm-hmm. So that some of the reporting's like, huh. And I'm like, what? And it was like they were committed to one side or another or
and
something.
They didn't know what to say.
This particular, what are you doing? And I'm thinking, they were actually, I guess maybe it was biased. Maybe they were biased toward one candidate or the other. I know they would just show another number and they go, oh. I'm thinking, my goodness. And the reason why, because it was historical. Nobody knew what God knew already. God told me in October that this was going to happen. I didn't share it. I came to the studio that I didn't share it. And then God, you know, spoke to me not to share it. And I didn't share it. And I changed all of our things.
Right.
But know this, God knew this. And he showed me not only that, but he would be working immediately, like Paul Ryan, the Speaker of the House, said, as soon as he gets his hand off that Bible, we're set up to begin to be sworn in, that he's going to begin working with us.
Hit the ground running.
And that's what God said that would happen. And that he's going to be a friend, whoever it was going to be, is going to be a friend of America. You know, I guess I'll make America great again, I guess.
Yeah.
I think his last thing in his speech was, I love America. Mm-hmm. I love America. And just who would think that stands out? But it's like,
that's so good to hear.
It seems that you're a Marine and you fall for the country. It's good to know that somebody
that's
loves the country
that
you fall
yeah.
for, you know. And so it's very interesting, but it was historical. As a matter of fact, I want you to hear right now Paul Dunn talk about how historical this election really was.
Joining us now for some historical perspective on this election is Dr. Charles Dunn. He's a distinguished professor of government from Regent University. He's also written and edited 21 books on American politics. Dr. Dunn, thanks for being with us today.
I'm glad to be with you.
First of all, let's talk history. When's the last time we had a surprise like we did last night?
The two most recent races, 1948, Truman's whistle-stop tour coming from behind, and 1980 with Ronald Reagan. In both races, Truman was expected to win. He came from behind, and of course, there was that famous headline in the Chicago Tribune the next morning, Dewey wins, but it was Truman who won. And then in 1980, Jimmy Carter was expected to beat Ronald Reagan, But Ronald Reagan came from behind after that only debate between the two of them just before the election, and momentum went with him just as it had gone with Truman. So we have a case of Donald Trump duplicating two great come-from-behind victories.
Amazing. Well, has there ever been an election this divisive?
Yes, we've had many divisive races, but it always seems like the most recent one is the most divisive. But we do have to say this ranks among the most divisive races. But the great thing about America is that we usually come together at the end. And we're seeing that now. We had a great speech by Donald Trump, a speech of unity last night, followed by Mrs. Clinton today and President Obama. Each one was, I would say, exceptional, which bodes well for the transition of power in the United States. We're the only country in the world that is able to transfer power as peacefully as we do. So we need to be grateful for the three of them to set the right tone.
Beautiful. Well, Dr. Dunn, Donald Trump called for healing last night. What can he do to help make that happen?
First, he can reach out, as he's already begun to do, both reaching out within his party to the people who opposed him and reaching out to members of the Democratic Party. And of course, tomorrow he is to meet with President Obama in the White House, and Mrs. Clinton has sent her regards and best wishes. So as we see Donald Trump reaching out to others, they in turn will reach out to him. And we have, of course, within the Republican Party, people who steadfastly oppose Donald Trump, now they're trying to make amends with him. So all of this is to the favor of America, recognizing that the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. And thus far, our leaders recognize that each one is merely a part of the greater whole of the United States of America.
Absolutely. Well, not only did a Republican win the White House, but the GOP also kept the Senate and the House. When is the last time one party ruled the executive and legislative branches?
1953 and 54 under General Eisenhower. The Republicans had 48 seats in the U.S. Senate. The Democrats had 47. There was one independent. And of course, the Republicans controlled the U.S. House then. But in 1954, Democrats came back to power in both the House and the Senate. So we have to go back to 1953 and 54, Eisenhower's first 2 years in office, when one party, the Republican Party, controlled all three.
And what does controlling both branches mean for a Trump administration?
Well, first look at it this way. What did Donald Trump campaign on? One, he campaigned on the courts, putting into office, especially the U.S. Supreme Court, those who believe in the Constitution will uphold all of the constitutional rights and liberties that we have. And of course, on such issues as abortion, we'll side with life. And then there are many other issues as well. And Trump, I think, spoke to those, especially towards the end of his campaign, very effectively. So he will be executing on tax policy, economic policy, the restoration of the military, many other issues that he's addressed. So his victory means a lot. That is, this was a monumental election, just as it was for Truman and just as it was for Reagan.
Okay, well, Dr. Dunn, evangelicals played a big role in securing this election for Donald Trump. What role should they play moving forward?
I would say evangelicals need to recognize their limitations. Yes, they should have a significant role in the Trump administration, and I believe that they will. But sometimes evangelicals sell their souls to politics. They must keep their eyes and their hearts on the main thing, namely, that is spreading the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. If they will do that, the participation in the Trump administration will take care of itself. With Vice President-elect Mr. Pence, with Mr. Huckabee and others who are around as advisors to Donald Trump, I think we will see evangelicals play that rightful role.
Dr. Charles Dunn, thank you so much for joining us, sir.
I appreciate it being with you.
That's so powerful. You know, you're hearing all these details and looking at historical. I mean, it's 1953, 54, right?
Yeah, 1953, since they've controlled all three branches.
So the Republican Party, the Conservative Republican Party, the Party of Lincoln, mm-hmm. you know, the party of emancipation, that it's been since 1953 or 54, since they had that majority. That means that you can create a bill in the House of Representatives, which are, I don't know, it's one that Paul Ryan's over, Speaker of the House of the Representatives. It'll go over to the Senate. And since they're like-minded and same constitutional conservatives, for example, they'll approve it. Then they'll go to a constitutional conservative president, and it's like it's easier to pass things versus that. We've seen a conservative House of Representatives, and that's, you know, Republicans have a majority in the House, but they would send it over to a Senate, and then they would send it over to the president, who didn't have the same views as they did, and so he vetoed it.
Right.
And so you have the power of veto. We've talked about this before, and as a matter of fact, I think we're going to go to this break in a minute, and I want you to see about, there was a cartoon years ago that's so helpful to really understand this. When Pat and I were in Washington, D.C., I had a chance to sit on those same steps, you know, and he talks about, you know, when I was just a bill, how a bill becomes a law. Because it's so important to understand that if we have people in agreement in all these places, you know, things can totally transition and change fast. And that means the first 100 days of office, that great things could be accomplished, and things that are not constitutional, things that were preferences of previous and past administrations that were just signed executive orders and they didn't stay in, as long as they had to stay to be able to become a law, they can just actually sign them away. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of different things that happen like that that have been signed in by just signed in, and they didn't vote on it. And Congress is supposed to be, that's where laws are actually made in Congress. And so we're going to begin to see that. But first we're going to go to this break and we'll come back. Because make sure you come back. I'll show you this thing that we're able to do in this cartoon. It's hilarious, but also will educate you on how important it is, because it's not just like this is a good idea. It's got to go through a whole process to be able to become a law or to undo a law like Affordable Care Act. Mm-hmm. It's been put into a law, so it has to be undone if somebody's going to undo it or not. But at the same time, as Christians, we've got to be thinking about, well, what do we do to make sure everybody's taken care of? But join us after this break.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
How do I love my enemy?
I think that love begins with the common human experience that we all have. And I think that the loving your enemy gets down to the basic human issues: air, water, lights, food, family, basic human essentials. At least let's love on the level that we exist and then debate on the level that we think. But we have lost all respect and civility. And I think that it comes back to just respecting people because God made them. Mm-hmm. And how can you say you love God who you have not seen,
right,
and hate that is a reflection that he created? You cannot worship him up there while you resent him right here.
I want to thank you so much for joining us here on VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program. Every single day we are on the air talking to the world and encouraging you by bringing the light, keeping the conversation light. And we also talk to you in many different ways as well. One way is at the VFN Torch. If you go to VFNTV.com and click on the torch, our program that we have for years now with all these pertinent topics of the day plus things that you need to know is right there for you, where you can go back and educate yourself on a particular matter. You can share things with a friend. You can listen to us in addition in SoundCloud as well. You can share things audibly with other listeners out there and other viewers and friends. There's just so much available to you at VFNTV.com. In addition, think about this. We come to you in the air, broadcasting in the air, in your pocket, which is on mobile devices, and online. We're all over the world, and we want to be able to bring encouragement to you. And we do that one way with our app. You can go to your Apple App Store. You can go to Google Play Store and or your Windows Store and get your app and download it. The app is called VFN TV. Of course, you go to VFNTV.com. We have our little area there that you can pick which app you want to be able to download. It's just so exciting to know that no matter where you are, we want to be able to encourage you. I don't know if you knew about this, but also you can sign up for our Torch newsletter. We have a gift for you for doing that. You just go to VFNTV.com in the upper right-hand corner and fill out that little information, and immediately a free gift will come to you. One of them is prudent preparation. Hopefully it's going to come to you and teach you how to probably prepare for the day, what's happening in our culture today, and how to think outside the box. And this is something we want to be able to give to you, plus some other gifts as well. And I also want to make sure that you have a chance to be able to become a VFN TV partner. We have a whole partners area just to say thank you. It's special areas, special events, green room, things we have available just to give our partners, just to be able to say thank you. Imagine any time you can log into the partners area. Why? Because you partnered for any dollar figure at all to be able to say thank you. Things you can share with your friends as well. Also, we have VFN Kingdom Business Partners, a whole nother area to be able to focus on the seven spheres of culture. Just very encouraging. And finally, I want to encourage you, maybe your business, maybe you want to become a business sponsor. Those are the ones that are standing with us, that want to keep the conversation light, that want to impact their community, but also want to be able to share their business, their service, what they provide for their community. You can do that by going to VFNTV.com. Thank you so much, and thanks for watching. Welcome back. You know, we thought about just bringing us something a little funny, look at history, but also to help us really understand what does it mean. Hopefully, we're going to get back to the Constitution again, which says it's Congress that makes the law, and it's the executive branch, the president, that enforces a law, and it's the judicial branch that actually finds out if it's constitutional, not make the laws, not represent the people. The represent the people comes from the House of Congress. So let's go back to Schoolhouse Rock and look about how what happens to a bill. Remember this because you can be involved and should be involved in your government. Take a look.
Woo, you sure gotta climb a lot of steps to get to this Capitol building here in Washington. Well, I wonder who that sad little scrap of paper is.
I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. And I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill. Well, it's a long, long journey to the capital city. It's a long, long wait while I'm sitting in committee. But I know I'll be a law someday. At least I hope and pray that I will. But today I am still just a bill.
Gee, Bill, you certainly have a lot of patience and courage.
Well, I got this far. When I started, I wasn't even a bill. I was just an idea. Some folks back home decided they wanted a law passed, so they called their local congressman, and he said, "You're right, there ought to be a law." Then he sat down and wrote me out and introduced me to Congress, and I became a bill. And I'll remain a bill until they decide to make me a law. I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. And I got as far as Capitol Hill. Well, now I'm stuck in committee and I'll sit here and wait while a few key congressmen discuss and debate whether they should let me be a law. I hope and pray that they will, but today I am still just a bill.
Listen to those congressmen arguing. Is all that discussion and debate about you?
Yeah, I'm one of the lucky ones. Most bills never even get this far. I hope they decide to report on me favorably, otherwise I may die.
Die?
Yeah, die in committee. Oh, but it looks like I'm going to live. Now I go to the House of Representatives and they vote on me.
If they vote yes, what happens?
Then I go to the Senate and the whole thing starts all over again.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. And if they vote for me on Capitol Hill, well, then I'm off to the White House where I'll wait in a line with a lot of other bills for the president to sign. And if he signs me, then I'll be a law. I hope and pray that he will. But today I am still just a bill.
You mean even if the whole Congress says you should be allowed, the president can still say no?
Yes, that's called a veto. If the president vetoes me, I have to go back to Congress and they vote on me again, and by that time you're so
By that time, it's very unlikely that you become a law. It's not easy to become a law, is it?
No, but how I hope and pray that I will. But today I am still just a bill.
He signed your bill, now you're a law.
Oh, yes!
So you actually, you know, have a little fun to understand there. He says, so it's not easy to become a law. Mm-hmm. And he said, no, it's not. But notice, in our last 8 years, it was so easy that our Congress wasn't the ones passing the law. Our executive branch was passing the law. And people that are running for office, they said, we need to have a Supreme Court that represents the people. It's like, no, that's actually the House of Representatives. The Supreme Court is supposed to just find out the constitutionality of that law. Right. In other words, the House of Representatives could pass a law, a bill, and they send it over to the Senate, and they pass it, and they go to the president, and the president signs it, and it becomes a law. But they could take it to the Supreme Court and say, wait a minute, this is not constitutionally right. Mm-hmm. And the Supreme Court can undo it only because it would be unconstitutional. They cannot make law from the bench. But it's been happening. And so we look back on this, you know, begin to think about, so you know what? We got to rethink about what our constitutional makeup is of our country and our participation. You're the one that can actually decide, you know, I think we need to get our community together. We need to have a law. Or you could say, that's a bad law. Yeah. We need to undo that law. And you can get with your House of Representatives, your representatives, say, listen, we want to get together. We want to present an undoing of a law. And you can even get together and undo a constitutional amendment. Well, you can have an amendment to the Constitution, which one particular mm-hmm. constitutional amendment was the drinking and the alcohol, and can't think of that particular right now, where they're holding all the alcohol from the citizens and prohibition. And it just became a law where you couldn't, I mean, obviously it didn't work. And so they made a constitutional amendment that you could not have alcohol yeah. in America, and made all these laws about it. And then they came back and said, they voted again, and they had another constitutional amendment that did away with that amendment, which means this, that you, the people, can determine how you want your country to go. I mean, if it's going in a bad direction, and for some reason we just got crazy for a while there, we go, you know what, we need to start heading in the right direction. Don't throw your hands up and throw the country away.
Which makes sense when yeah. you hear that, when it says a government by the people
and for the people.
For the people.
But you got to know that, because so long
exactly.
people have told you that they're the ones in charge, and they're, with right. a stroke of a pen, they're creating, you know, new laws that are just, I'm not going to name them. They're so controversial if I named them that, you know, people would get a viewpoint on. But the reality right. is, you're not supposed to be signing laws into place like that. Executive order, I mean, everybody's used executive order. I mean, George W. Bush, President George W. Bush, but George Washington used executive mm-hmm. orders. There's a time to write those executive orders out and to do them. But if the people of a country don't want it, if the Congress doesn't want it, if the Senate doesn't want it, if the House of Representatives doesn't want it, and the Senate doesn't want it, then you should be, with fear and trembling, you should think about, you know, maybe we need it for a season, but not forever. Mm-hmm. But it's been basically just pushing our morality, you know, laws coming that's just challenging every part of us. And I think, personally, you know, God is bringing us to a point of decision. We need to make up our own mind, you know, where we stand on issues. And as we had on our earlier program, that 76% of the Protestant church, and Protestant churches, you know, basically those who protested the original Catholic church, mm-hmm. and that's what they call them, Protestant. So it's not evangelicals and all that, but they're included in that. But 70% of the non-Catholic vote of Protestants, they support Roe versus Wade. Mm. They support, you know, being able to take a child's life in the womb. They support 76%. The issue is not the world. The issue is the church. You know, where do we stand with God? What does the Scripture say about life? And you know, just. We know about the marijuana laws that were passed in Colorado, and people say, you know, what's the big deal? Well, it's a huge deal. But understand this. They passed the legalization of marijuana, people are moving there and legal drugs and things are happening as well in addition to that. But guess what they just passed with this election? You thought, what's the big deal? We'll just go 2 feet, but we won't go 10 feet. We'll just pass marijuana, but we won't do anything else. You know, we will just abort children before they come out of the womb. We won't do anything else. But guess what happened? Right after the marijuana law passed, a couple years later, they just passed another law. 2-1. You know what it is? That doctor-assisted suicide is now legal. It's legal in Colorado. It just got passed. You know why? Because if we don't value life, if you don't value life, people want to value your life. If we don't value life in the womb, they won't value our life when we get older. Mm-hmm. Or we start limping or so. You start limping, you know, straighten up. Better walk quickly through. So they went straight from legalized marijuana to now legalized suicide. And nobody said anything about it. They're not even talking about it. And it reminds me of Dr. Dobson's book. I believe it's called Fatherhood. I can't remember.
Fatherless.
It's a father. Oh my goodness! It's a powerful book, and it talks specifically. This is where we're going to go. You know, this is what's going to happen: is if we don't wake up, people are going to try to help you along in your life. It's like, you know, you're old and everything. You know, you're at 40 years old. These young people say, you know, your life's 40 years old. My life is just beginning. And he talks about it in his book, Fatherless, as about how it's a political official who cut a deal with somebody who creates this chemical that helps people with assisted suicide, that one particular 16-year-old, 17-year-old wants to end his life because he thinks he's physically mm-hmm. challenged. The mother says no, the politician says yeah, and it all kind of converges, and it ends with being in a nursing home, but it's not really a nursing home. It's just like a quick drive-in where you go in there with your parent, and this man saying, sign here, mama, sign here. You know you said you always wanted me to be
successful.
And she says she didn't understand what he was doing, but she was signing her life away to have this chemical injected in her body so he could have her finances so he could live his life. She's like, get a job. Your mama's money ain't your money, unless she says it is. But that he wanted it, this book talks about this, and he predicted it. All life is important. If you don't value someone else's life, they're not going to value yours. Understand, they went straight from marijuana, legalization of marijuana. Now you can legalize their suicide. Mm-hmm. You know, physician-assisted suicide. It just happened. Nobody's talking about it. And it's like, man, we got to wake up. We got to wake up. God, we need you to touch our country. As a matter of fact, I want to pray right now. Father God, Lord, we just love you. We thank you, Lord, no matter which way the world goes, that your kingdom stands. We just pray, Lord God, for Colorado, God, that you would touch that state, that would free them from the spirit of death coming over them, Lord, and the nation of the spirit of death. And, Lord, forgive us for the sin of abortion, Lord. We pray, God, that you would just end abortion over this nation. End it, Lord God. Revitalize the conversation again. Lord, this current president-elect, he's saying he wants to end it, God, that you would put a Supreme Court together that just says no to the taking of life, Lord God. We pray, Lord, that you would end abortion, that you would send revival, God, that you would send a third great awakening, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.
We want to give special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at VFNTV.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.